Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets. Today we are joined again by two fan favorites from Bachelor Nation, Greg Grippo and Justin Glaze. Last year we interviewed Greg and Justin separately, but today we have them together. A lot has changed for each of them, both personally and professionally. Greg has continued to leverage his acting background into comedic-based content, while Justin has continued his artistic skills into creative content as well. You're laughing, huh? You're laughing at your own little resume. Here, Justin. Today, we are going to discuss how content creation careers have taken off, how this TikTok shutdown would affect their careers, what else they are interested in pursuing next professionally, and maybe we'll dive into just a little bit of their personal lives. We're also here with Garnier Fruit Tea, so we have some cool stuff coming at the end. Wait till this segment. It's going to get unbelievable. But Justin and Greg, thank you guys for being here on Trading Secrets.
Appreciate you having
Thank
us.
Thank you for having us.
Last time I saw you, Justin, it was Disneyland. That's when we recorded. That was the day I found out things weren't going to work in my favor in my last relationship.
Quite so the roller coaster of a day.
That was a tough day and even a worse day after, but that was a fun podcast we recorded.
It was.
I feel like
was.
We got pretty lit in that podcast.
Sneakily.
Sneakily lit.
I was like trusting you with the edit there.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we were letting it fly.
I feel like of all the people I had to edit that episode, I feel like I had to edit you the most.
I believe it.
Yeah. I was a little loose. Now, Greg, last time you were on the show was April. That was right after our book tour.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing a theme here. We hit it pretty good. We were a little hungover, but absolutely. Andrew was with you.
Yes, he was.
I feel like last time when we did that episode, you and Andrew are like Batman and Robin with your content. But I feel like Justin's starting to come in a little bit.
Justin,
he's starting to
my
take
turn to be
always,
Robin.
Justin's always is Justin coming in.
No, I'm Robin. I'm
is
Robin.
Is Justin now no, Batman? Joker, is Andrew
I'm
out?
The Joker.
You're the Joker?
No, Greg's the Joker.
I know. They call me Joker. No, they all call me the Joker.
No, he goes through these phases where he like will try to get a nickname to stick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So for a while it's been Gator. And it's so
Gator.
Annoying. Oh, I
why
I don't know
Gator? Self-proclaimed.
This guy's
Gator.
Mind is, I don't know where he gets it from, but he self-proclaimed himself. He's like, call me Gator. And he says it so much, you get so annoyed that it starts to stick. It sucks.
That's just Gator.
When so did he you went, come up with Gator?
Like 5 months ago.
And what sparked that?
Well, all my friends in college, they all have like animal names. There's skunk, there's rabbit, there's mouse, there's bear. And then I was like, I'm Gator. And they're like, no.
why? But why though?
I don't know. I just think it sounds cool and starts with a G, so it kind of makes sense for
you
me.
You kind of chill and then bite hard.
Yeah.
I can't tell like if you're doing a skit.
No, I'm not. But yeah, with them, there were just a lot of signs that were coming up about a new nickname. There would always be like a Joker card sitting on my travel bag or something. And I didn't know if that was planted there by one of them or somebody else trying to show me a sign. But I think this is like meaning something. And
why are you laughing?
He's planting the car.
Don't believe him. It was happening for a couple weeks, and we all like went to a couple places like Chicago, and I think they visited me in New York, and we were in Chicago. We went out to a bar, and then we came back. I was like, oh, let's just order some Uber Eats, hang out. And All of a sudden, I'm not kidding, on the Uber Eats package that we have, was a Joker card.
This part he's telling the truth. And that's why I got annoying, because I was like, okay.
And after this was happening, and I was like, you guys think I'm joking with this. This has been a thing that's been going on for like the last year.
It did start to become true. Have you seen Joker 2?
No.
There's a scene in
there.
I heard
it wasn't good, though.
I agree.
The first one's better. Box office numbers were down. I know that.
But even down to, like, you guys have seen him, you've seen him dance, right?
Yeah.
He dances like the Joker.
Do you, like, when you're doing your skits, are those, is that like, is that an act? Do you actually dance like that? Like, you're so goofy, it's so funny, but I can't tell if, are you in, like acting zone when you're doing that? Like, when you're just, like, floating around doing these, like, and you just sit there, like, moving your body.
Half the time,
are you going into character?
No, half the time I black out. Like, I let the music take me. And I think that's the beauty of music, is that it, the more you give in and let it take you, the more beautiful things happen. And so I kind of just set up the phone and I turn on some good music that I vibe to, and I don't really remember anything that goes on. And then I'll wake up the next day and it's posted on TikTok, and I just have no idea what happened.
When you, I feel like your TikTok following is growing significantly and engagement's off the charts. Do you feel like it's Bachelor Nation that's following you, or have you attracted like a younger audience? Because you had, with Bachelor Nation, they called them, what were the girls that the Grippo girls. With TikTok, do you, like, is it a whole new world that you're like venturing out to?
It's interesting. I didn't have TikTok when I was on the show, and then we would just use Andrew's TikTok. It was about for a solid year where I didn't have a TikTok.
Why?
I don't know. I just didn't want to download TikTok, and okay, I just didn't care to post on it. And all of a sudden, like, I think that we were in LA, and it was about a year after we filmed, and I was like, screw it. Like, I'm just going to mess around with this.
Yeah.
And I didn't take it too seriously, and I just like was like posting random stuff. And I think I was always self-conscious in the beginning.
Yeah.
About like what I was going to post. And then,
are you now at all
self-conscious?
Yeah, because like I see 90, when I look at your video, I love your videos.
Thank you.
Because I truly always fucking laugh. Like, I think they're funny. And I'll go to the comments.
Mm-hmm.
And 95% of people are like laughing their ass off. Then there's 5% of people are like, oh my God, so cringe. I'm like, they're so dumb. They just don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, when you do those videos, do you worry at all about that like cringe factor, or you just like step into the cringe?
No, I really don't give a shit anymore. I think that I've tried to, at least in my own life, and like, I think that I've tried to deal with this personally, is that like, I don't want people doing that to me. So like, I think I've always found myself throughout life always cycling through like a judgment of like somebody else if I saw them online. And I think I've developed just like not yuck somebody else's yum,
yeah,
or just like they let them, or just like let them live the way they want to live. And so like, I feel like that's brought a lot of peace to me, is that like, I don't give a shit if like this person is commenting cringe. Like, I really don't care.
This type of mentality, and Justin, I want to get your take on this too. I find that when I talk to people that come out of the Bachelor franchise, year one, oh my God, like they're so worried,
everything.
Like, you could even, like, I could think about people that are coming off right now and they're so sensitive to everything. And then, like, year two, they're like, eh. And then year three, and then they're like, fuck it. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Let them talk shit. I'm going to be who I am. Do you feel both you guys have become like a little bit numb or even like thick skin to just all the constant criticism? And obviously, there's so much, all of us have people that support us. We also get little chirps here and there. How have you dealt with that?
Yeah. I mean, from like a regular, I guess, viewer, fan, whatever, whoever's watching the video standpoint, I mean, it affects everyone, right? Like, you're lying if you say you don't look at the comments and whatever. But I never really cared as much about like random people's opinions.
Yeah.
I think being on the show helped to kind of develop that callus. Like, beforehand, I probably would have cared a lot more. But for me personally, it's more so, like, I treat it as like an out of sight, out of mind type of thing. Like, I'll post something and just not look at my phone.
Okay.
But then if I see certain people, like family members or friends or whatever, that have viewed it, then you start to make the connection of like, oh my gosh, like, what is this specific person thinking about what I just posted, right?
Yeah.
And so I try to avoid that. But I actually recently had a couple of conversations. My college president was like my biggest mentor, and he's the one who kind of got me into the whole financial route, you know, working at the investment firm that I was at for a long time, and really took me under his wing in college, and has been a really good mentor. He's a super, you know, impressive guy.
Yeah.
And over the years, kind of have not kept up as much communication, but still, you know, the check-ins, birthdays, how you doing,
sure,
you know, progress check-ins, all that stuff. And recently, I didn't even know he had a TikTok. Okay. But it was something I made at Disney. And he sent it to me and he was like, hey, like, is this really you? And then he sent like this whole long thing. He was like, you're creative and you're clearly like good at the social media stuff, but I just want to make sure that you're not losing sight of your future and this and that. And I kind of took a second to process it and I shared it with my parents. And again, like he's a super impressive guy, but he's like, I mean, I'll never forget. He's, I think, in his 70s. And I was meeting with him in his office one day and he was like, wait a second, Justin. And out comes this little French guy. And I was like, oh, who's Doc? Who's that? Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, I just decided to pick up French. You know what I mean? This guy graduated from college at the age of like 19. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just like one of times 100 most influential people in the world a couple years back.
So you have someone you respect that's intellect that's like chirping your career a little bit.
But exactly. And so I've had to kind of, you know, understand like not everyone understands like what we do, right? So even for my parents, when I made the decision to leave finance, right, and kind of pursue this type of stuff, it wasn't until they could kind of see tangible proof that it was, you could be successful, because it wasn't in their generation to be a career path, right?
Totally.
So for those type of people, I have to kind of understand, hey, it's not so much of like a judgment on or reflection of like what I'm doing, but maybe just not understanding. So
okay,
that was a long-winded way of just, I don't know.
No, interesting. I mean, it's a career that's changing constantly. Since you guys have been on, it's changed a lot. People always ask me like how much of your revenue came from TikTok and how does the TikTok ban impact your business? So I'll ask each of that. Like how has TikTok revenue been for you and how will it impact your business?
Honestly, I think a lot of stuff that I end up doing partnership-wise on TikTok is like syndicated from Instagram. Like it starts with Instagram and then brands will want it on TikTok as well. So, you know, I'll get some that are specifically for TikTok, but
give me a percentage. 10, 20%, 30%.
Like they're straight up TikTok or with like
the syndication. If you look at all your revenue last year from creator economy, how much of TikTok revenue is generated from that?
Maybe 25 to 30%.
So that's a big impact. Yeah. Greg, how about you?
I was going to say probably because, most of my stuff is also syndicated through Instagram.
Yeah.
But like if it's just TikTok, it's honestly not that many. I would say probably like 10 to 15%.
Okay, so it doesn't have as significant of an impact.
Yeah.
What's interesting business-wise for everyone listening, a lot of the contracts we're seeing, what they're doing is if you have a deal in place right now and it's supposed to be syndicated to TikTok, so you're supposed to do a reel and a TikTok, what's going to happen if TikTok is fully down and out is you'll actually have to do a reel. So it'll be two reels. Mm-hmm. So that could impact like structure deals when you look at like Absolutely. The value and all that. So we'll see what happens with it. Greg, a little state of the union. Last time you were on the show, you talked over $400,000 you're making off creator economy. How did it look in 2024?
It looked great.
Better?
I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, it was two times
better?
I'm having fun what I'm doing.
And his numbers getting so big, he doesn't want to talk about it.
I'm having fun. I'm extremely grateful.
Was 2024 your best year yet?
Yeah.
Yeah. By a long shot.
It was a good year.
It was a good year.
It was good.
Justin, you were on the show 2021. You go on Paradise 2024. You're really, really finding your lane with the work you're doing with the artistic work and your skits and your editing. Was 2024 your best year yet?
It was.
By how much over 2023? 2X, 3X, 4X?
Like 3.5X.
3.5X. You did 350% of what you did in 2023.
Dinner's on you tonight.
Damn. That's unbelievable.
What if I only made $20 in 2023?
Yeah, that's
true. Okay. I'm kidding.
All right.
But it was. Yeah.
So, like, I want to quickly talk about your take on reality TV, and then I want to talk about what you guys think is next for you. But let's just get this. You guys are Bachelor alumni. Reality TV is all over the place right now. State of the Union, your opinion on the business of The Bachelor. We had Golden Bachelor, we had Joey season, we had Golden Bachelorette. We're now going into Grand Season. What do you just think about the state of the union of The Bachelor from a business perspective? Greg, what do you got? You watching the show?
No, not at all. No, I tuned in for a couple episodes of Joey's just because I feel like everyone was talking about it.
Yeah.
I feel like they really did a good job of promoting Joey's season. I mean, I'm sure I'll tune in for an episode or two of Grant's, but I just really haven't really kept up with it. I'm not a big week after week guy with shows to like be able to sit down and watch. I like just binge watch whatever's on Netflix or Hulu. So maybe after the season ends for Grants, I'll watch it all.
All right. If they called you to be The Bachelor, would you make that career move?
They wouldn't call me to be The Bachelor.
But if they did.
But if they did, I mean, that'd be tough. That'd really be a tough conversation. I mean, I think I'm at a point in my life where I'm extremely happy where I'm at, especially like
Justin's giving you looks. He's doing the standard looks. What are your looks saying right now?
I was just listening.
You're the king of looks. What were those eyes saying?
Go ahead, spill the beans.
What were you thinking? You think he's full of shit?
No.
No, you like his answer.
Yeah.
Okay. So then why are you giving
looks?
I think
he would make a great lead if I think he's underselling himself. I think that he could get a
I think he could definitely get a phone call. Wait, why are you so certain that they wouldn't call you?
I think
you're probably top contender of alumni.
It's been years at this point. I just
next
I,
to you doesn't matter. Nah, I'm
fucking old.
I'm like losing my hair. Thanks to Garnier, got the thickening spray here.
What
I'm,
if they did
I'm
like gone. A bronze bachelor?
A bronze bachelor,
you know, not quite golden.
Like
not quite golden.
Not quite golden.
Not quite golden. Yeah. That'd be a perfect.
Would you do it?
Yeah, I would do it. Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. why not do right. it? But once upon a time, they did call you to do the bachelor, and like mm-hmm. you were there.
Yeah, I mean.
Did you sign paperwork? Fuck, I'm in killer mode right
now. No, you are in killer mode right now.
Sign paperwork?
No, after the season ended, I legit needed to take a step back. And I remember going on Nick's podcast and I was like, he asked me if I was interested and I told him straight up, no, I think Andrew would make a great one. Michael A, I think, is in a great place to be mm-hmm. one. And then they gave me a call like a week or two after about it. And I was open with them about where I was at in life. I really didn't feel great about everything because after the show ended, I just felt like it was just a dark time.
Yeah.
Just in general. And then somehow it came out that I was about to be it, which wasn't true.
Interesting.
And then there was like a petition of like 250,000 people that signed for me not to do it.
No way, actually.
And I was like, I can't do that. I don't want anything to do
with
this.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that.
Oh yeah. Oh no, yeah. It was
real. I bet you there's 250,000 people that also wanted you to do it too.
Well, there were
more than that. More than that.
I mean, it just...
Yeah, more than that.
It just felt like a scary time. There just felt like so many like opinions. I feel like I was actually taking everyone to heart during that time.
Yeah.
And I really... And they saw it too. Like, I was being open about like how much I felt like everything was bothering me. And like, I didn't really feel like I was in a good space to be a lead.
So that was 2021. Have they, since then, have they called you to do Paradise or go back on the show in any capacity?
No, nothing. Okay. I haven't seen them at all. It was interesting. I don't know if I can say his name, but I saw one of the head producers on a flight randomly.
Really?
Like 2 months ago. It was the most random thing.
Okay.
Yeah. He's like, what's up, Grippo?
Yeah.
Hey. Oh, haven't seen you in a while.
Like, triggered.
Yeah. No, seriously. Fight or flight.
Fight or flight. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Justin, how about you? State of the Union, The Bachelor, like, what do you think? Like, you're an executive on The Bachelor. What do you think of the show? You think it's trending the right way? What'd you take?
You know, I think it's gone through ebbs and flows the past couple seasons. Like, I think they had really, really good momentum. I think the franchise was kind of in a dip. And then I think Joey's season really propelled the franchise. Yeah. And I think they had so much potential. And then I think it kind of plateaued a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think there's a lot of factors that have played into that. I think they've got a really good thing going with the golden stuff. I hope they do like a golden paradise. I think just like keeping things fresh would bode well mm-hmm. for the franchise. Like,
what's fresh?
I mean, I think the seasons can tend to be like a little copy and paste,
okay,
in terms of like the structure and like, sure, the dates. And, you know, I think people are starting to catch on to,
you know, it's coming before it comes.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. After your run on Paradise, did they ever reach out to you to do anything else with the show?
Like outside of podcasts?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, did NZK or ABC reach out to you to do anything?
No.
No. Okay. If you ever, like, I'm just curious, like, just paint a picture, imagine a world in which you are single. Like, would you ever have interest in being The Bachelor or going back on Paradise? If you were.
You wouldn't catch me. You would not catch my toes in that sand.
Ever again?
No.
Never?
No.
Okay. It feels like career-wise, both you two are spinning off and you're trying to move away from Bachelor Nation. Is that correct? Because it feels like your brands are moving in totally directions. Like, I think you guys don't stay. You don't do podcasts with the show. Mm. You don't do content about the show. You don't really. I mean, the one thing, the only way you two are still tied, I would say, to the show, well, past relationships and whatever, personal, current, past, all the things, and your friend group.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that is the beauty of our friendship, though, is that like it was never for the show or for, I don't know, just like to gain each other's like following or, yeah, views or anything. Like, we legit hang out, and so like we don't rely on it. I don't care to post about the show on my social media at all or do anything like that, and
yeah,
neither does he really. And yeah,
all right, I got a statement for you.
Yeah,
you die a hero, you live long enough to become a villain. Mm-hmm. Do you feel as though that statement bolds true with, we're all guys from the franchise, men from the franchise?
Go ahead.
You guys are a little nervous today. You guys are, come on. This is, I mean, now that you're off the show, this is how you got to get the thing.
You said just for men?
No, yeah, I'm saying, I said we're all a men alumni, mm-hmm, from the show.
Yeah.
So I guess it could just, so your opinion.
No,
could apply it to anybody. It's a gender neutral.
No, but I think this, and I don't know if I'm skating around your question. I disagree.
Okay.
I disagree. I just think with social media in general in today's day and age, whether you come from a TV show or not, if you are public facing, I think the more success you have, the less wiggle room you have to kind of slip up, right? Because I feel like people are always waiting for something for you to go wrong to kind, sure, of tear you down, right? Like, people will switch, yeah, on you like that. So I always try to like not get too high and not get too low and kind of just stay in the middle, right? Because it's like the minute you get too high,
you'll come crashing down.
In the middle that you find validity in the negative comments that people are making, you, yeah, lose sight of who you are, right? Yeah. And so,
interesting. Yeah. Greg, what do you think?
I think it's tough in this day and age to just be a hero. I don't really think that you can't be everyone's fan. Like, you're always going to find somebody who's against you, I think, no matter, yeah, what. I mean, Joey, for instance, I think that he was,
I don't know, he might always be a hero.
But I'm saying, like,
I think he's an anomaly.
I don't know if there will be like another Bachelor like Joey.
Yeah.
Like Joey was. I think that he's a great looking dude, honest. Yeah. Like, everyone loved him. But then, like, I go on TikTok the other day and I see somebody kind of, mm-hmm,
right,
talking.
That's what I was gonna say.
And I'm just like,
that's true.
And I'm just like,
always
gonna
be something.
There's always, I think that there's always gonna be something, no matter what. Mm-hmm. You'll always find that little bit.
That's part of this industry. It's tough. There's always noise. Another part of this industry is consistent cash flow. We talk about deals. Sometimes they're one post, sometimes they're 1 month, sometimes they're 2 months. But I think it's fair to say in any one of my businesses, whether it's podcasting or it's my creator space, when I look at January 2026, there's not one guaranteed dollar that comes in the door. Like, in the next 3-6 months, yeah. But that's tough. Do you find that to be tough in this business? Like, understanding what your cash flows are and the sustainability of it.
You mean like when you're starting a new year?
Yeah, like 2025 is here, right?
Yeah.
And revenue for both you guys and myself comes from brand opportunities.
Yeah.
And so the idea of, if the brand opportunities, they're not 2 5-year deals, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have any 2 5-year deals, but does that worry you at all, that like the inconsistency of potential revenue?
I kind of feel it. It feels invigorating, to be honest with you.
You like it?
Like, I kind of do.
Well,
I think that I don't like being complacent. And like, I also wouldn't care if I had to, if say this didn't work out.
Yeah.
All right, then so be it. I have to get a 9-to-5 somewhere.
But you were insurance sales. You're not going back there.
I'm not going to insurance, but hell, like before I was marketing for a documentary. I was Ubering. I was fit modeling. I was bartending. I was barbacking. I was doing anything I could to make a dollar. And I'm grateful to be in the place where I'm at right now and to be having fun like doing it. So, I mean, I'm going to try to continue to grow and continue to do the best I can in this business. But other than that, I mean, like, my dad was a hardworking guy. I mean, he stocked shelves for his whole entire life. Like, I'm not above that.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know?
So it's pure.
Whatever happens, happens. Yeah.
You have a very Zen mentality.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That, it took me a lot to even get a little Zen, but I appreciate it.
I feel like you do. All right. I want to ask you, we're talking about business. I want to talk about personal stuff for a little, and I won't get too deep. Don't start sweating yet. But from a personal standpoint, none of us are married. Single. Yeah. None of us are married. No kids. Do you think if you hadn't gone on the show, that your relationship status would be a little bit different? Do you think going on the show has advanced things professionally, like you had said, but maybe personally put you in different positions of where you might be married with kids, doing something else? Justin?
It's really hard to predict that, you know, like, who knows? I mean, I know I wouldn't be doing this social media stuff if I wasn't on the show, right? Like, that's probably the only guarantee. I'm sure my life would have a lot more structure and stability. But I think...
Do you think you'd be married right now?
I don't know. Like, you know, I'd probably still be in Baltimore. I'd probably still be doing the same things that I was doing every day up until the show, right? But
yeah,
I'm so fortunate for the opportunities that the show has presented post going on, right? You know, the network that you build, the traveling, and just opening the doors to so many options that I didn't even know existed in every facet of life. So I don't know. It's hard to say.
I'll give you my opinion. I think I'd be married with kids right now.
Yeah.
And I think when the first time I heard someone talk about this was Tyler Cameron, when he said like the show delayed my life by 10 years. Mm. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing, but I think with this type of work and this type of industry, you're constantly being, you're sent here, you're going here, you're going here. So to create like a foundation stability of like going that direction is harder for sure. That's my opinion. Greg?
I mean, that's tough to say because most of my best friends from school are all either in a long-term relationship right now, married, engaged, or have kids. They're all like, they're all with someone serious. I'm one of two out of the 10 that are single right now.
Okay.
So I mean,
how does that make you feel like when you think about that? Do you feel like you're behind it all, or do you like, no, this is my path?
No, I mean, I will say sometimes, you know, you're like, ah, I hope I find somebody soon, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm also not trying to put too much pressure on it because I think throughout life, I have looked for that. And I do think that this past year or so is the first time where I'm not putting pressure on my like relationship status or putting pressure on finding someone. And I feel like that's also going to bring like the right person in for me.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Good answers, guys. Good answers. 2025, financial goals. What do you got? Finance guy?
I think you're just like Greg said, I don't think any of us are complacent guys.
Yeah.
So the goal is to beat 2024. I mean, that's the goal, right? But if that doesn't happen, I'd still be grateful because...
Do you think you're on the path to do that?
It's quite early, but I think so.
Okay.
17 days in?
You think you're in a better position?
As of now, yeah.
Okay. Greg, 2025 goals?
To be in a position where I feel comfortable enough to buy a house.
Mm. Where do you want to buy a house?
Mm, that's the hard part. I'm not too sure. a dream, no matter what, is for me to, whether I treat it like a summer house, hopefully, or my full-time living situation. Like, I do hope to have a house in like the Spring Lake area in New Jersey.
So 2025, you want to get a house. This is the year.
Yeah, I mean, I've been holding back on like buying a car and stuff specifically for that reason because like I want to invest in property.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the financial goal. All right, we're gonna increase our revenue. We're gonna buy a house. We'll come back to that.
Yeah.
All right, talk to me about, now that we got the comedy guy back, talk to me about how do you advance your comedy career? Like, so you're doing skits right now.
Yeah.
Are you talking to other agencies? Are you thinking about TV shows? Are you like, how do you navigate the career of trying to be a comedian? Do you go into stand-up? Like, what do you do next?
I would love that.
I got asked a few times to do stand-up. I don't feel confident enough yet that I could do stand-up. I think maybe a little bit more season under my belt. I need to get more seasoned first.
Okay.
In order to feel confident enough to get up there. Okay. But I mean,
bro, it's so funny.
I think I love like writing. I love writing skits, and I love writing things of that nature. And I always had a dream to at least like write this script that I feel like I've just started dabbling in. And like, yeah, and like a lot of my inspiration just like I like writing everything down. Sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll start like working on it. And yeah,
that's been like you wake up in the middle of the night and start writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're trying to write what? Like a film?
No, not a film.
Or skits?
Both. Both. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why I wake up in the middle of the night to do that, but it usually happens in the middle of the night, like 3 a.m., 4 a.m., where like I'll like, it's either like I'll like have a dream or like I feel like my mind is maybe at like this state where I'm not thinking about anything else. And yeah. Maybe like, it's like I'm not a scientist, but maybe it's like a different part of my brain that's just like on or that I'm accessing like for creativeness maybe. And I feel like most of my ideas come in the middle of the night.
How do comedians come up with skits? Like, do you find something relatable that happens? Like, what's your like, how do you come up with
it's
something
through funny? It's through other I see it through other people. Like last night when we were with Pete,
yeah,
I was like, dude, I gotta hang out with you more because
oh, he's like, he gave you comedy.
He is, yeah. He is a piece of work, he is, man. No, he's a piece of work. Are you kidding me?
Right, what about
you,
him?
You hang out with Pete and I feel like you can get like, I don't know, 10 skits out of hanging
what
out.
What is
with
one thing from last night that Pete gave you content for?
I mean, he's like a Walmart. He's like a walking Walmart, you know.
Hallmark?
What did I say? Walmart?
Walmart. You think Walmart. You think he's a Walmart version of Hallmark?
No. What did I say? Walmart?
Walmart.
I said walking Hallmark. A walking Hallmark. Like, you know, stud that you see in the movies that like, you know. He's like, oh, I'm back from the big city, you know. Where have you been, Georgia?
Like, I find him to be like a golden doodle. Like,
uh-huh. He no, he is.
Life is like
he
a is. Golden doodle. Like,
he is. But he has such a pure heart.
Pure heart.
He mm-hmm. has such a pure heart. I've only hung out with him a number of times, but it's just like, it's so pure that it could do well in comedy.
Okay, so you get it through other people then. That's
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Uh-huh. Good stuff. All right, boys, I want to think about this. Say, this is a Jim Carrey exercise. It's 2025. I want you to look into 2027. The trajectory of your career, you're doing your content, your artist work, you're getting into comedy. 2027, you have a blank check. And this is how much you want to earn in 2027,
oh,
2 years from now. Blank check, you write that number, you put it in your wallet, and you want to manifest it. It could be any amount in the world, but you're like, this is what I'm going to do in 2027. Think about it. And then, Justin, I'm calling you. Don't give me some bullshit. I want to hear a number. 2027, blank check. You want to manifest it. You want to believe it. You're saying it right here. How much you making? Don't change your number, by the
way.
This is the total amount gotcha. You're going to make this year, 2027. Oh, it could be any amount. What do you think? Go.
Bro.
Manifest it. Believe it. Go. Say it to believe it.
2027.
2027. Greg, you got your number?
No, I mean, I keep on thinking I could do a lot with like $10 million.
There we go. That's a good answer. $10 million in 2027. What are you doing?
Okay.
What was your initial thought before you said it?
I was going to say a million.
That's great. And I think that what's interesting is like, how did you start thinking higher when he said 10 million?
No.
You did it.
I was still a little confused with like, if I had this much money, what could I do with it? Or versus how much do I want to make that
2027,
year?
How much you want to make? You're writing a check for how much you're going to make. Your goal.
I keep my answer.
Oh, that's okay. I'm not
you're going Will Ferrell style.
I don't know if I'm not gonna make $10 million, but I mean hell yeah I'd like to.
Okay, all right. Maybe it comes to fruition.
Maybe.
Are there any agents out there, are there any like people in the comedy world that have kind of like knocked at your door being like, well, you got something?
You mean like agencies, like yeah. I've spoken to an agency for that sort of thing, and I had a meeting out in LA with them, and it was a great meeting. I mean, it was like my first ever meeting like that. I was actually pretty nervous walking into it, because I was like, you know, 24-year-old me or 25-year-old me would be shitting his pants.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be bad in settings like that. I used to sit across a table with a girl.
Yeah.
If like I was really into her, when I was like in my mid-20s.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So there would always be like this thing that I would do. And not like, it would just be like a something in my body, like, And I would be like having to like cheers with them. And like, I'd be like, hey, nice meeting you. Or like happy first date or something. And I'd be like shaking, like trembling on the way back.
Wait, no.
And
way.
I'd be like, I'd be so nervous. It'd be taking over me. And like, I'd wait for her to like look away. And I was like, I have to take a sip, but I'm going to spill it. So I'd like take like the bottom of my hand and like do this. Anyway, I wasn't that nervous, but I felt like a small bit of me was like, I hope I don't get that nervous. And like, I hope they don't have like a cup of water there that I have to drink.
What's the last day you were on that happened?
When did that happen? It honestly has been
years.
What's that?
Years?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. It used to happen all the time.
Interesting.
It used to happen all the time. That's, I was really nervous. I was I was just like a walking bag of anxiety.
I do feel like if you're a comedian, you're like on stage or you're acting, you can't.
I feel like there's so many people that are funny like on stage or like behind a camera or in front of a camera, but then like in interpersonal settings, it's like
they're weird.
Yeah, a little bit more like reserved.
Some of the best actors in the world go on Jimmy Kimmel and they're freaking out. They can't even like they don't know how to.
Yeah,
act.
I feel like they have. I feel like,
but then they could be on the biggest stage.
Right,
Justin, your career. Where do you go from here? What's next?
Yeah, I'm gonna keep creating. I'm gonna keep doing my art stuff.
Okay.
And then for the past couple of years, I've been working on an exciting project. I do a lot of stuff in the spirits industry.
Yeah,
I don't think that's any secret, but I've been working on something in that industry that I can call my own. So I've been pouring a lot into that the past 2.5 years.
Of some sort?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
When will we know more about this?
Hopefully in Q1. Hopefully very soon.
We talk money here. Can you tell us how much you've invested into this project? We don't know what the project is. Can you tell us how much you've invested?
I've just self-funded it thus far.
Okay.
With plans to seek, you know,
funding
in subsequent.
How much have you put into it?
I've put about 80 into it.
80 into it.
Nice.
All right. Wow. Congratulations. When it launches, awesome. Let's go get us out. You'll come on the podcast. And you want to tell us anything more about it, or you just want to hold it there?
I mean, I'll say it's in the RTD space, the ready to drink space.
All right.
So trying to make things elevated and convenient for people.
All right.
Hell yeah.
Good stuff. Well, you guys both have big career upside coming here. $1 million for you in 2027.
And $10 million
for Will Ferrell 2.0 over here.
Make y'all eat your shorts.
What you say?
We never doubted you.
Oh yeah,
we never doubted you.
Yeah, not for a second. And you know what? Maybe 2027 is the year that you become the Bachelor.
Ooh, I could see that.
Although, like, with this comedy skill set you have, like, you might just, like,
might be
the funniest Bachelor ever, though, because you would just be chirping everyone the
Do you
whole
think
time.
You would still, do you think, okay, so your personality on the show, personality directly, look at me asking the questions.
Yeah, let's go.
Is that okay?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Your personality on the show, personality directly post-show, just because, like, I've been around you, right? Do you think if you were to be the lead in the future, do you think you would kind of go back to that more reserved personality, or do you think you would show up as, like, who I know you as?
No, I mean, dude, we did the season and they didn't show any of my moments that, like, I feel like
that's,
we had.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
I feel like even at the
what
rose
moments didn't they show?
I feel dude, like the rose ceremony, like, I would do it every single time. And
do what?
He's not lying about, like, randomly writing stuff. So we would be, like, prepping for a rose ceremony. Everyone's, like, scattered throughout. And then he could be in a, he would be in a different room and he would just, you would just hear a voice. He'd be like, come now. And we're like, oh shit, it's Gregory James. And that was his poet name, Gregory James.
Gregory James.
How many names do you have? Gator. Gregory James.
Joker.
Joker.
G-Baby.
G-Baby.
Okay.
So yeah.
G-Wiz is like his rap. G-Wiz is his rapper name.
G-Wiz, yeah. Can you rap? Can you do a freestyle right now? Rhyme with beer.
I can't.
Rhyme with Reed.
Reed?
Yeah. Rhyme with Bill.
Bill?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I'm not doing this right. I can't.
Give us one.
I can't.
You're a poet. You're Gregory James.
I know. I could do a poem for you probably.
Yeah, do a poem for me.
Okay, what do you want me to write a poem about?
Whatever your heart's feeling.
About Sunset Winds.
Good.
All right. Sunset Winds by Gregory James. There's a time and place for everything. I walk around in life with great aware. Until my brother Joe got attacked by a giant bear. We walk in life with great mystery. I don't really like history. Was that Willie Mays? I hope so. Sunset Winds by Gregory James.
Thank you.
Oh my God, you are talented.
Yeah.
Yeah, that 10 million's coming for sure. 100%. So yeah. He's in the Bachelor Mansion and you hear him saying, come now.
And yeah, and doing? So we would just
what's
turn.
What's Gregory James doing now that he's proven?
Usually sitting crisscross applesauce.
Mm-hmm. Like this?
In like his, he has no like cartilage or bones in his legs. Like so they're that? Just like, the way they can fold is crazy.
Okay.
And so he's like folded up in a corner and he's got a pen, paper, and then he'll tell us, oh, shh, close your eyes. And he won't
everyone
start.
Everyone had to close their
and
eyes.
He won't start until we.
To everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would usually just be a couple people that would come.
Yeah.
So we would come and close your eyes. So we'd have to close our eyes and he would recite a poem. Mm-hmm. And then we would just walk off.
Mm-hmm. What did you do at the, what was, the, why?
It was just about like what was going on in the house.
Mouse in the house was
oh the mouse in
my
the house.
Favorite.
Oh, that one. Let's hear
oh my gosh, that was my favorite one. It was very timely. Like
it was timely
because there was like drama scattering throughout the
does
house.
He do, like when you guys are all hanging out, does he do stuff like this all the time?
Yeah.
Like what else does he do?
I mean, he's like, a funny
like,
dude.
Like what? What else? Like when you wake up, what's your routine? I feel like you wake up and just like walk around.
I mean, I do. If I'm in Brooklyn, like no, I will get a coffee and I'll just walk if I'm by myself. Yeah.
Did you talk to anybody?
Mm-mm.
You talk to yourself?
No. No, I listen to music on my walks.
And you were like this on The Bachelor too.
Yeah.
This is like just wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. They stripped all the funny stuff from our season.
Yeah, they actually didn't show a part of it. Not even
not
like
one.
Single. Yeah. They wanted like I think I do like have a perpetual like face if I'm not talking looks a little like sad or grumpy, and I think they just clinged on to that. They're like, yeah, this is gonna be good.
Have you ever been in a, so you're in a relationship, you guys are like living together, and mm-hmm. some of these things come out, and like maybe your significant other times like it's like what's he doing?
No, I mean like I think like if you're in a relationship and they're like accepting you for I think that it just makes it better.
Because be
like, then all right. Of a sudden they start joking like that too.
Yeah,
and like you're it. Like, oh look at now that.
You're bringing the funny out. Yep. You're bringing the funny out. All right. Well, gentlemen, it has been a roller coaster of laughs, personal, financial, and even professional talk. We're going to do a little segment. You guys okay with that?
Okay.
We are doing the Garnier Fructis game segment. You guys ready for this?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. It is called the polypeptide pitch game. So first of all, what is a polypeptide? Polypeptides are chains of amino acids that link together to form proteins. They are vital for the structure and function of cells and tissues in living organisms. This is a rapid fire segment. I want you to bring that energy you brought in the Bachelor House. I want you to bring that creative artist energy. And you can't think. You think too much. I want you to just say what you're thinking on this Garnier segment. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Here we go. First one, we're starting with you, Greg. Garnier Fructis Hair Filler Polypeptides. They have a thickening spray. So my question for you, they say it's a good pre-date routine. What is one thing before every single date you're doing?
Before every single date?
One routine you're doing before every single date.
Oh, man. I'm showering.
Justin,
that's a great answer.
I don't have like a set routine.
Is there any peculiar thing that you do
in the shower?
No. Is there any particular thing you do before a date that like is maybe out of the ordinary? Unlike using thickening spray before a date.
No. I definitely not. To be honest with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Basic shower.
Yeah.
Justin,
I'll usually put on some music and have a cocktail.
What kind of music you listen to?
I'm all over the map, but if I'm prepping for a date, I'll probably put something calming on. Like one of my favorite bands is Wild Rivers.
Okay.
It's like indie folk.
Okay. All right, there you go.
It's a vibe.
Yeah. Different routines, but here we go. Speaking of Garnier thickening, what is the thickest and hardest question you've ever been asked on a date? Justin.
Dead ass, why is your ass so fat?
And how did you respond to that?
I'm serious.
Did you respond?
I said, I don't know.
Squats?
I think it is I ran track. I think it's a little track booty.
Okay, gotcha.
But I'm being serious.
Yeah. All right, going on to question three. Greg, we're starting with you. Garnier Fructis Hair Filler. It fills the voids. What is one of your biggest red flags?
I feel guilty a lot of the time, and I try to please other people, even if it hurts myself.
Mm. Okay, self-sacrifice for people pleasing. Mm-hmm. Justin.
He's a good man, Savannah.
Garnier Fructis Hair Filler fills the voids. What is your biggest red flag?
I'm a little too particular when it comes to my space. Like everything is kind of in order.
Hmm.
You know,
okay.
I make my bed every morning. When I leave my sofa, put the decor pillows back, fold the blankets. And sometimes, yeah, it's, I don't know. I could probably let my hair down a little bit. See what I did there.
On a date, you have to sell yourself. We have Garnier Fructis Hair Filler Polypeptide Spray here. Okay? So I want you, like a pitchman, back in the day on those TV commercials, I want you to take this Garnier Fructis Hair Filler Polypeptide Spray, look into the camera, and in 20 seconds, sell it. Make someone buy it. Who wants to go first?
Go ahead.
Which is his camera? Which is his angle? Okay, right here. Greg will go first.
Do you want people to accept you? Turn to Garnier Hair Filler Polypeptides this 2025 season. This season is a year of self-improvement, and we all want to be better in some regard. But which way are you going to turn this year? Turn this way, right to Garnier. Catch you all on the flip.
Okay, that's pretty good. All right, Justin, no
pressure. I think that's pretty good.
No, you got to sell it.
Been looking for a way to take your thick from 1C to 3Cs? Well, I've got the answer for you. The Garnier Fructis Hair Filler Plus Polypeptides will have you thicker than a bowl of oatmeal.
I need that.
Yes.
Take it from my friend here, Greg Grippo. He's been using this for quite some time now, and Greg, his hair's never little, been thicker. Run it through.
Oh, great hairline.
If you want that
and thickness, it works like a charm.
You know where to go.
All right, last one. Garnier Fructis Hair Product. It's a beautiful thing. Keeps things thick and prevents hair break. You both have experienced public heartbreak. What is the hardest part about dealing with a public heartbreak?
All of it. I mean, all of it's tough. I think every single part is tough. You know, the comments or what everyone having multiple opinions on what happened. You know, sometimes it just doesn't work with two people. I feel like... my breakup last year, we went about it and we were cautious of each other, which I think helped us heal probably quicker than, you know, two people going back and forth and leaving more opinions on the table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. Mm-hmm. All right. Same question.
For me, I think it was just like, and I fully understand, like when you're in a public relationship, people, you let people in to the degree to which you're comfortable and people want answers. And I think in my situation, we tried to handle it like as privately as we could in respect for each other and trying to prioritize each other in that situation. And, you know, people want answers, right? Yeah. And so they start to speculate when you don't give them answers. And so I think just by not giving people much as to what really caused the breakup, I think just opened the door for theories, right? And just like finger pointing and stuff like that. So just dealing with assumptions and things of that nature was tough.
All right, last one I got for you. Garnier Fructis Hair Filler Polypeptides Thickening Spray. I'm going to define that in three words. That brand, it's fuller, thicker, and soft. Those are three words. How do you define your dating life in three words?
Food / drinks, banter, and comfort.
Cute. Greg?
Yeah. That was nice.
Thank you.
That was very nice. Yeah, food / drinks, banter.
No. I want you to go into your break. Close. Okay, everyone close their eyes like when you do your poems. Close your eyes. Think about your dating life. Think about the dates. Three words that describe those dates. What do you got?
I haven't been on too many recently. Fun. Casual. And? Spontaneous.
I like that.
Good three words.
I like that.
All right, I got a question for you guys. Garnier Fructis Hair Filler Polypeptides Thickening Spray. It's all about the thickness. So I want you to name one person in Bachelor Nation, not in this room, that has the most beautiful, voluptuous, thick hair.
Okay.
Greg, who you got?
So, guy or girl in Bachelor Nation?
Maybe one of each.
One of each?
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't met so many people that are now a part of the show, but...
You can see their photos, though.
Yeah. I would say Joey's lady, Kelsey.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay.
Yeah. What, I just took yours?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's okay. Guy?
Well, I see her TikToks. We follow each other on TikTok, and she has, like, I feel like...
No,
like
I agree
natural,
with you.
Natural, like, curly hair that's, like, full.
Yeah, that was actually a really good one. I agree. Good. You stole it from...
And four guys. Maybe Nate Babatunde, like, when he grows it out. Maybe.
I'm with you.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't.
Oh, just before we wrap, one celebrity you could think of?
one celebrity I think of. I think of Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, interesting.
He's like a hair god back in the day.
I like it. Yeah. All right. Justin, Garnier Fruit Tease Hair Filler Polypeptides Thickening Spray. It makes the hair thick and voluptuous. Who is one person from Bachelor Nation? Actually, let's do one guy, one girl you think of when you think of voluptuous thick hair.
It was going to be Kelsey, but I'll pivot. Teddy's got pretty. Teddy from Clayton season.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
It's Aunt.
Oh, yeah. It's a good one.
You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
The girl that Andrew went on a date with.
Right, that one.
Mm-hmm. Are they still dating?
Andrew?
Never started.
No. Oh, yeah. No.
It was on
that
Paradise.
That was from like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Guy.
John Paul Jones.
Good one. Celebrity.
Zendaya.
Oh, wow.
Ooh,
even better one.
Nailed it. All right. Damn, those are good three people.
Killed it.
And we'd like to actually pivot and ask you, Jason.
Yeah.
Name one guy, one girl from Bachelor Nation who you think,
and one celebrity,
who you think has voluptuous hair. Not in this room.
And you can't say yourself.
Right.
Okay, guy, I'm going to go Zach.
Zach who?
Zach the Bachelor.
Oh, wow. Quite.
Yeah. He's okay. Got a good head of hair. Good right. Hairline. Okay. You know?
Yep.
And girl, Kelly Flanagan's got a nice head of hair.
Nice.
Yeah. Celebrity, Paulina Gretzky.
Who's that?
That's his daughter?
It's Wayne's daughter.
Yeah.
That seemed oddly specific.
You got the Hotspur?
Very niche.
Angelina Jolie.
Okay.
Angelina Jolie.
Very niche.
Wow. I feel like we're getting down something.
Yeah.
Hold on.
How much time do we have, actually?
Okay.
How would you describe your dating your dating life in three words?
We're not doing this. Greg, Justin, thank you guys for being on what might be the funniest episode of all time. I thought you and Andrew's episode was an all-time high. I think Justin just outdid it. Justin might be the new Batman, but we got to wrap with the trading secret. All right. So I need a trading secret from each of you. It could be about your last year because it's been about a year since everyone's been on the show. So a little update. What's happened in the last year that's a trading secret to your life financially, professionally, or personally? Justin, let's start with you. What can you leave us with?
Don't let the opinions of others deter you from pursuing what you want.
Profound. Greg, give us a trading secret.
It's going to sound really cliche, but I think
can't be worse than Justin.
That was cliche? Let me dig deeper in my bag.
Greg?
I think expressing gratitude has changed my life, and I think that I've tried to practice that every day. And even though I felt like it felt so fake to me in the beginning, I feel like it's kind of helped my brain in a way to really appreciate everything I have in life. And so saying thank you every day.
I like that. And I think you're saying what you're saying, but you're talking the walk and walking the talk, because I think when we talked about our careers and some of the concerns about like what tomorrow could look like, what next year could look like, your perspective of just being grateful for what it is, knowing where you came from, was like really refreshing. And
awesome.
So that landed thank with you. Me. Do you want to try again or?
It's that bad, huh? Whoa. Sure. You want to be more specific? I mean,
no, just what's like a trading secret? Let's talk to me.
That was
what's one thing.
Yeah, excess with art and stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What's the secret behind art?
I don't know. Did anybody judge you growing up about art?
I think everyone one of my trading secrets I've learned from
people
you.
Say
I'll tell you this one. One I've learned from you over the year is like you're very diligent and when you're very consistent.
Who
are you? You. You come up with a plan and no one I think executes a plan like you. Like there's nothing that will stop you from doing what you're gonna do once you decide to do it. No distraction. You're extremely disciplined. And like over the last year, I've learned that from
you. I appreciate that. And so, I mean, I'm not going to talk about myself in that way, but like with what I said, that's kind of along the lines, because with what my goals are, right, and the plans that I have for myself, along the way, there's been people that have had opinions like, oh, you can't do that. That's too big of a goal. Like, just focus on this and that, right? And it would have been easy for me to just doubt myself and be like, okay, they're probably right. Like, it is a lot to try to fund my own business with huge goals and do X, Y, and Z, move across the country, all these things, right? Sure. And so I've had all these deterrents and I've just tried to stay headstrong and understand that, I don't know, I can't let other people's visions be my vision, right? Yeah. Like they may not have the capacity to envision what I have for myself. So
I love it. That's great. Well, Justin, Greg, thank you guys so much for being on this episode of Trading Secrets. Where can everyone find everything you have going on, Greg?
It would be Greg Grippo on Instagram and Greg J. Grippo on TikTok.
And Gator elsewhere.
And Gator
Justin,
elsewhere.
Justin, where can everyone find everything you have going on?
Justin Glaze on Instagram and Justin underscore Glaze on TikTok.
Amazing. Well, thank you guys for being on Trading
Secrets.
Thank
you, man.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.
You guys killed it.
Appreciate you.
Ding, ding, ding. We are closing in the bell to the Justin and Greg episode. I got David with me on the recap, and the recap is live and well. The Money Mafia has spoken. You guys want the recap. We are going to keep the recap. We might do a Jason Tells All episode maybe once every, I don't know, every couple months or so, because we got a lot of good feedback from that, and we are still looking for a woman co-host. Maybe we'll even do tryouts on this podcast, but this was a fun episode, and we also had a little bit of a technological malfunction at the 11th hour here. It's Sunday night. We're doing the recap, getting ready to get this out tomorrow morning, and one of our microchips broke. So David's actually recording from his phone. So people, even if you want to do a podcast or anything like that nature, you could just use the voice memo from your phone. But enough of me, the curious Canadians with us. David, how are we doing this week?
We're doing okay. Let's just say that it's 11 p.m. on a Sunday night. I just got off the bus from a tournament in Toronto, one of the biggest tournaments of the year. My team lost in the championship game in overtime. And so that was tough. And it made me think of, we'll get on track with the episode here, but it made me think of probably a little bit of similar, the heartbreak that you went through with the Bills. Then I thought about sports. And I saw my team there just devastated after the game, crying, you know, head in their jerseys. I just walked out of there. I'm like, why do we do this to ourselves sometimes? Give me an example, if you don't play sports, where you just drag yourself through the agony of like competition, where it just like actually eats you alive. Can you think of anything else if it's not sports? Like is there anything else on the planet that can do this to you, that can literally torture you?
I mean, you know, David, here's the thing. Yeah, everything. Like, I think like the beauty of sports is like, what is it? Like, let's just claw it back. And I think anybody can relate to this. It's passion and love, right? It's your community. It's your team. It's your people. Your players are fighting for you. They're fighting for each other, and they come up short, and it's heartbreaking. And that only doesn't apply to sports. It applies to life. That applies to heartbreaks, to loss of people when they pass, to loss of people when they exit your life. Like, I think, honestly, it hits every aspect of life. It's the beauty of just like passion. You know what I'm saying? And so honestly, as hard as it is that you guys lost, in overtime, as hard as it is that the Bills lose, like, I think when you look at it, like when you feel that pain, and it's getting a little deeper, that's just like the passion and love you have for what you're doing in that moment or that somebody. And to me, that's beautiful. Like, that's the way to live.
I don't disagree with that. I think you summed that up very nicely. That was a low.
I'll also say this too. There's a famous quote by Vincent Lombardi. Show me, and it's a little harsh, but it's real. Show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser.
Yes.
Right? And it's this concept of like, you know, accepting defeat easily without striving to be better or lack of ambition is a loser mentality. And so, you know, that's a terrible feeling, but it's also a good feeling. It's a pulse check.
It also, we lost the same team, the host team, in the championship game last year, same tournament. Shout out St. Andrews College. They do a great job. Hopefully we get them next year. But that was a low, but we're back on the high. The high was JTA, the feedback we've got, the comments that we've got. Thank you to all the listeners. Your feedback's been very helpful. They want the Curious Canadian on the recaps moving forward. What can I say?
People have spoken, David.
I was a little worried there for a sec. I'm like, did we just kind of write my death warrant here? Like, am I just going to get the boot? So, no, I'm here to stay. And you know what? Not only am I here to stay, I feel a little more empowered now to kind of take the recaps in the direction that I want them to go. We're going to do a little bit of JTA feels in the recap. We're just going to do whatever I want to do. And I think if at the end of the day, the people are loud and clear. And if they want me gone, they want me gone. But if you're going to keep me, we're going to do this thing. So let's do this thing.
So let's do this thing. I love it. Before we get into Justin and Greg, anything about either JTA or anything else you want to bring up, or just thoughts? Because obviously it was just a lot. There's a lot of episodes. There's a lot of feedback, a lot of action, a lot of talk, you know?
Yeah, I think personally the only thing that I'm not used to is I shared reels for the first time with you, and my fucking phone. Oh my God. The notifications. Dude, every time I open my phone, it's like 100 comments, 100 likes. I'm like, you must obviously have those things silenced. So that was nuts. But I just think for me, big picture wise, those JTA episodes are special to me because it's the truest version of you and me giving people insight to conversations we have on a daily basis. The fact that we get to do it for each other is really, really awesome. The feedback is only, it proves that, you know, the ratings of it were great. I mean, I think it got into the top 20 of all business podcasts, which is surreal. And the biggest thing for me is that it gives you an opportunity to maybe scratch the surface of things that you just, there's just not time to do because of a lot of different reasons, that you get to do it with me. And maybe it's because I make you feel comfortable, or maybe it's, you know, that that's coming up and it's one place to kind of just speak your truth, even though it's not maybe fully out there. It's enough for the people that are listening to you, that follow you, that love you, that, you know, appreciate and respect you. It's an opportunity for them to kind of just finally hear it from your voice. And I think that that's always the best part.
Yeah. Yeah. It's perfectly said, David. I have a few things with it, you know, pulling back the curtain a little bit more like we did last week. This past week I had therapy, and in therapy, I actually played a couple, responses to Jiffy that I had been questioning. And it was really interesting because one of her responses to me was, she's like, did you guys not plan this? And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, well, I'm listening to this response. Like, this response is like extremely raw. Like, you can tell, like, you almost were caught off guard with that question. And it was just like a very, very raw response. Did you not have those questions and like plan those questions? And I was like, no. Like, I had no idea. And like, I didn't know what he was going to ask. We didn't talk about it. And that's kind of, I think the beauty in it is that you got two best buddies sitting down and it's just real and raw. I don't know the curveballs you're coming with. I don't know the answers I'm going to have. And so I thought that was kind of interesting. And I think one of my big takeaways from it is, I think in business, I'm really good at, let's just say, standing up for myself. Like, I'll go toe to toe. Negotiation, tough conversation, eye to eye in the lion's den all day. Publicly, I'm really not good at sticking up for myself. And I think just continuing some of the conversation we had, you know, you were a huge proponent of, during some of my breakups, for me to like get out there and tell my story and tell my truth. And I was always like, no, 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 no. And I don't even think I really even scratched the surface of doing that on JTA, but I do think I spoke a little bit. And what I felt was a very, very honest, very real, and very respectable way. And, I feel good about it. I feel good about it. I feel a little bit more empowered to be more vulnerable. And it's just the reality that vulnerability does equal relatability, which equals empowerment. And the more vulnerable you get, the more people connect with you, and also the more noise there is too. So yeah, just a lot of takeaways about it, but I think that's the way I want to live my life, and so I'm good with it.
And that's, and for me, it's great to hear, because it's important to be able to do that, right? It's important to be able to speak, you know, about things that at the end of the day, they impact your life. That's why you got to keep me on, because I can tell you these things and I don't have to think about it on the maybe PR or business level that you have to, because of, you said, the noise and the things and the factors, because I see you and I see what you're going through and I want to scream it for you from the mountaintops. And then I get all these freaking notifications on my phone about people commenting on your stuff. And I'm like, screenshot it, be like, I'm just going to reply to this and set the record straight for you if you can't do it. Like, this is bullshit. Like, da 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 da. So. Yeah, maybe you just need to start tagging me more shit, and I'll just come be the truth setter in the comment section. So
I love it. It's great. All right. Well, here we are, 10 minutes into the recap, and we have not even talked about Justin and Greg. So let's
good.
Get into Justin
no,
and Greg
that's
a little
good.
Bit.
This is how the recaps are going to roll these days. So I will say this: I was so depressed on the bus coming home. It was dead silent. I had to listen to this episode because I knew we were going to recap it tonight. And I will say, it put a smile on my face. It put a smile on my face. It was pretty funny. I mean, Justin, Greg. I mean, Greg is a complete wild card. You never know if he's like doing a skit or if he's like,
serious or not. Yeah, like, are you in character or not?
Exactly. And he's witty and he's funny, and I think that's part of his charm. And I love kind of like, I love that he's gone through his own process too. Like, I love that he's gone through like realization of he wasn't ready to be the lead, and he really, you know, what people thought affected him, and he's kind of got this like let them attitude. I think I saw you post that on your Instagram this week. Let them, in terms of like, yes. During like an Ask Me Anything. Is that correct?
Yeah. So Mel Robbins is a podcaster and now author, and she just released a book, Let Them, and it's blowing up. She's now the number one podcast in the entire world. But the idea between Let Them and Let Me, so there are these core concepts of like mindset framework, and the idea is reclaiming just your power and finding peace by focusing on really like exactly what you can control rather than getting caught up in the actions, the reactions, the noise of other people. So it's understanding Let Them by accepting, you know, what you can't control, releasing the burdens of other people's actions or noise, focusing on your own power, setting boundaries. Once you understand the let them theory, then there's the let me. So it's reclaiming your power. It's taking responsibility for yourself. It's creating a positive cycle and then focusing on your growth. But the idea is, like, so many people in this world are so worried to do anything. We talk about it every week, man. We talk about this on every single podcast, like the fear of doing things because of judgment. And this whole thought is like, let them talk shit. Let them run their mouth. Let them say you're this. Let them say they're that. No one can take your character. Focus on what you control and not what you can't control. And it's a theory that's like taking over the United States by storm.
Yeah. And I think it resonates with you. But then I hear you say all the things that you just said like 5 minutes ago too. And it's like, hey, let them. I agree. Just let them. Let them say the comments. But when there's so much false out there, how is that just part of it? You just got to let the false be out there and not stick up for yourself, and like, you know what I mean? Like, how do you do it?
I mean, I need to do a better job of like not letting like those false narratives. But what am I going to do? Argue with like
trolls online?
54-59 in a comment?
That's actually my burner account. User 550. No, I'm kidding.
It's like, what am I going to do? You know? So yeah. It is what it is.
So you got to just let them.
Let them. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway. So yeah, that's I'm good. It was good, interesting to hear Greg talk about that. Obviously, that petition threw me 250,000 plus signatures. I didn't even realize that was a thing.
Yeah, and the fact that he was just so open and raw about it, and I can only imagine coming off the show, and like you said, the first year off the show, you're just so hyper focused on like what people are saying, and then you get the opportunity to be the lead, and that's like the greatest thing, you know, and you kind of feeling yourself probably, and you're getting access to all these things, and all of a sudden it's like, wait. 250,000 people took the time to sign up for a thing to actively not want me to see me. Like, what is wrong with me? How bad am I? Really that bad of a person? Do I really negatively impact people in that way where they like are going out of their way? Like, we could, man, we've been doing the podcast for 3.5 years. We have 5,500 ratings. So of all the, we have 10 plus million downloads. We've had 5,500 people go and leave a rating and take the time. They had he had 250,000 people take the time to say, I don't want you on my TV screen. That's got to really fuck with someone's psyche.
Yeah, it's interesting. Now, again, I don't know the specifics behind it, or we didn't get into it, but like, yeah, that was news to me. That's crazy. I'll say this, like any time I've ever come across Greg, I've ever had an interaction with Greg, nice, kind, sweet soul, like great guy. So I can only say great things from everything I've ever encountered with Mr. Greg Grippa. So you know what? Maybe one day we will see him as The Bachelor. And Justin's creativity and his art and what he has coming and what he's done has been also fun to watch. And he too is hilarious. I feel like these two together were really a blast. Any other big takeaways from the episode or things you're thinking about?
One comment that I feel like it's fairly relevant. I feel like I'm just on a roll right now, so I'm just going to throw it out there. What was the quote you said? You either live long enough, be a hero, or live long enough to be a villain?
Yeah, you either die a hero or live long enough to become a villain.
So now that we're on the topic of the franchise, Matt James, obviously, in the news right now, definitely in his villain era for his breakup. But I just thought when you said that, that like kind of hit me. And then it also hit me that I think it was Greg or Justin said, it feels like sometimes when we have these massive followings, people are following us just so they can wait until we slip up or we screw up so they can tear us down. Do you think that that's true? Like when you see someone, like let's take a Matt James as an example, someone has a million followers. Do you think, what percentage of people's following do you think are following because they actually like really like the person and they want to cheer for them? Or how many do you think are following just so they can follow to negatively comment or to, you know, it's almost like a hate follow? Because that's a real thing.
Interesting. It's something I've never thought about. That's a great question. I mean, I'm going to just guess. I don't know. I think like probably 80% of people, if they're going to hit the follow button, especially like these days, like you can see everyone and who they follow. So who you decide to follow definitely connects with you, I guess. But I think 80% of people like want to root that person on. 20% maybe don't, maybe less. But, you know, just speaking about, if just bringing that whole entire conversation up, I don't want to get into the specifics of the breakup and everything. It's really not what we do on this podcast, but we do talk business and we do talk pop culture meeting business.
Yeah.
It is like, let's just talk business. It is wild. The numbers behind this breakup.
Oh,
like the scale and the impressions and the numbers behind this breakup. What was the last time we saw a breakup like at this level? Probably, I don't know. Like everyone was talking about it. Everybody.
I've compared it when we've talked about it off, obviously just on our own. I've compared it to like the Scandoval on Bravo. And I mean the Scandoval thing when it comes to like doing bad things, that was, you know, worst course of actions, let's just say.
Yeah, of course.
So yeah, I mean, it's everywhere. It shows the pull of the kind of the long-term bachelor couples, though. I mean, they're on call. Obviously, her Call Her Daddy episode was huge. But that's just a curious take out there because you say 80%. I think it's like 50. I think 50% of your people are really rooting for you. I think like 35% are there just to monitor you.
Okay.
I just want to see what's this person's doing. I want to monitor them. What are they all
follow
about?
Let me
follow the storyline. And then 15% are trolls.
Okay.
50% are following you so that you can do something that makes them upset so they can send a comment or they can share it to someone and say, like, see, I told you.
Hey, I got another. Okay. The interesting breakdown. I got another take on this whole Rachel, just as far as the business aspect of it. Rachel goes on Call Her Daddy, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting in the Bachelor franchise, what it feels like would have happened 5 years ago, maybe even a few others, is that would have been an ABC exclusive. Right? Like there would have been a sit down with the host and they would have done a whole thing and there would have been commercials on it. And it would have been like that's ABC talent. That's the Bachelor talent. And it would have been a whole thing. Right. And I'm surprised seeing the size and scale from a business perspective that's what happened. And it maybe that's just an overall shift in pop culture. Maybe it's like, people are now going on podcasts like the size of Call Her Daddies because it's actually going to bring in many more viewers at different demographics and audiences than actually ABC doing an exclusive. But I'm surprised ABC wouldn't jump on that exclusive for like the sake of the franchise.
I completely agree. And I think I've said this many times. It just blows me away that ABC doesn't do a better job of pulling some of these people back into their franchise. And maybe like we've talked about, maybe it's because if presented with the opportunity that they wouldn't want it and that they moved on. I thought what you guys talked about in the podcast is actually really interesting about did going on the show change your relationship timeline? Like your career was advanced, but it changed your relationship timeline. So maybe people are kind of like, don't want to get sucked in that vortex again. But regardless, you know, feel for the girl. Obviously, yeah, she seems like super, super sweet. I met her one time when we were doing the book tour at 92nd Street Y in New York City. Wish her all the best. But like I said, the business behind it, I mean, she's got 250,000 followers. She's, you know, she's got a big support system on her, and wish her all the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't have set up better myself. All right. Any other big takeaways from the Justin and Greg episode you want to touch before we wrap up?
I think that they're great guys. I just love seeing kind of how they're approached all this. All of their success has been around like positivity and humor. To hear that Justin's having a 3.5x, growth in his revenue from the content creation space is amazing. Greg's killing it. It's like you can't even say Greg and talk about what he's doing without laughing, because it's just like it just makes you giggle. I love you, Ray. Like, yeah. What do you do? Like, you're dancing. Like, do you choreograph it? Like, do you thought about it? He's like, then he's like explaining it, and it's like, no, that's a skit. And it's, but it's like, no, it's not a skit. He's actually just like he blacks out and he just bops the music. They're doing great. They're great guys. They're guys that I love to go out for a night with and go for a dinner with, and you know, just pick up on their energy a little bit. But they're great people, man. They're doing great, and it's good to see people like that who have came off the show, who have gone through some shit, right? Gone through the public breakouts, but landed on their feet, and now they're in it, right? As you know, they're in it. They're increasing revenue year over year. They're getting a better sense of what they want. I feel like they're a little more grounded in it. So I thought it was a great episode.
Great episode. Both very talented people. I mean, we talked about it on the podcast, but if obviously Greg's skits are hilarious and Justin's art and creativity is great, it is no surprise to me that his revenue's up 3x, because he's gotten so good at the quality of creating content and his artistry. So it is cool to hear from these guys. Always good to have Bachelor Nation on. David, always good to recap with you. Please stop right now. Give us 5 stars. Let us know your biggest takeaway. Throw your Instagram handle up. I'm in the process of moving. And as I'm moving, I am giving stuff away. We did a Trading Secrets, a group Zoom the other day. We had 50 some people on. We were shooting the breeze, hearing feedback from people. We'll do more of it. It was like so good to connect, but those 50 people can vouch for it. I was giving away stuff left and right. I think I got 45 things in the mail to send out this week. So we're giving things away. 5 stars, biggest takeaway, guests you want on. Please put your Instagram handle and make sure to subscribe to this podcast and watch us on YouTube. Thank you for tuning into another episode of Trading Secrets, one hopefully you couldn't afford to miss.